This episode of Spawned is brought to you by Care.com, the world's largest digital marketplace for finding and managing family care for everyone in your family. Find sitters, nannies, housekeepers, dog walkers, tutors, senior care, errand runners, you name it. And to save 30% off a Care.com premium membership, visit Care.com/CoolMomPics. That's Care.com/CoolMomPics.
Hello and welcome to Spawned, a common sense and hopefully fun discussion on parenting and parenting culture. Hey, I'm Liz Gumpener.
And I'm Kristen Chase, and we are the co-founders of CoolMomPics.com. Well, on today's episode of Spawned, we are going to be answering, well, not we, our guest is going to be answering popular parenting questions, and we've got comedian and actor Doug Moe, who's also the author of a new book, Man versus Child.
And he is a very funny guy. I expect this will be a very funny episode. Plus, he's sticking around for our cool picks of the week. So listen, here's just a little more about Doug. He's a comedian. He's a longtime improv teacher and performer based at UCB, as those of us in the know would call it, Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. He's also appeared in TV shows like Inside Amy Schumer and 30 Rock. You know, small ones, Kristen.
Yeah, tiny little shows that no one's ever heard of. That's too bad.
He also writes the blog manvchild.com. And he's the author of the hilarious new book, Man versus Child, One Dad's Guide to the Weirdness of Parents, which has been praised by the likes of, again, Kristen, nobody big, but, you know, Amy Poehler, Michael Showalter, Rob Corddry, Bobby Moynihan. By the way, the book also happens to make a fantastic Father's Day gift.
Yes.
So, how's that for a seg? Welcome, Doug.
Hey, Doug.
Hi.
We are so glad you're here. We've been talking for a while.
It's true. I'm excited to be here. So thanks for having me again.
And when we first connected, I remember we were laughing because I was like, UCB? I took UCB classes way back when. I have UCB babies. But you would not have remembered
Wait,
me.
Wait, is that a
I was
thing?
Like the really
are
bad
UCB
person.
Babies a thing? Doug, are they a thing?
Look, I don't teach babies, but I've heard that there are babies that have come from people taking UCB classes.
Aww,
and
nice.
Look, you know, I'm like one of the first dads like to come out of the UCB. You know, Bobby, who's on the back cover here, Bobby Moynihan, Rob Corddry, Amy Poehler. These are all people who have children now.
I know. And they were like my improv teachers way back when.
And they're still funny.
Sorry.
I think it's amazing, though, that when people have kids and still stay funny. I guess we'll find out, Doug, if you still stayed funny, though. That's it. No, I'm
Ooh,
kidding. But you know, like, I feel like after I had kids, my funny quotient went like way down. Anyway, we'll see.
I think you're funny.
Thank you, Liz. But we figured, you know what? It's Father's Day coming up. Doug has a new book. We are going to ask you, Doug, if you're ready, you're going to be in the hot seat. We're going to ask you pressing popular parenting questions from a dad's point of view, because you know what? Everyone always answers these and they're always moms. So let's hear from the dads.
That's right. I'm so sick of hearing. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm not sick of hearing from moms.
Moms are awesome. Okay, so here is your first question. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
What are your best tips for posting social media photos of your baby?
Okay, well, one thing to bear in mind is that people that don't have kids don't like social media pictures of babies. They like them a little bit, not too much. So one of my strategies is when you have a cute baby, you do a lot of baby pics and then you take a break, like a breather. So people are like, wait a minute. Does this person even have a kid? I'm not sure anymore. And then you like flood the zone again. Also, one of my favorite baby pics that I saw recently was one that was like a political one. My friends, their child is called Charles Todd. So they dressed up like Charles Todd, the news guy, and with a little microphone and stuff. And of course, baby Trumps and stuff are always great.
Oh, so clever photos, giving people a break. And also, wouldn't you agree? I mean, I think this is our advice too, Liz. Like, avoid like anything having to do with poop.
No.
Nobody wants to see photos inside the toilet bowl, basically.
Yeah, or the diaper.
Yeah, I don't think poop works on social media. but you know, I do think if you want to have like a screaming kid every once in a while, people are like appreciative. They say like, oh, look, here's my screaming child instead of like my cute posed picture. Then you kind of get that like, oh, I'm still real. Check this out kind of feeling.
Also mm-hmm. great birth control.
Yeah, it makes your child-free friends feel really good. Like, oh, phew, I'm so glad I'm spending my money on shoes and not like behavior lessons for a kid.
Right.
OK, Okay, so Doug, you are a kind of liberated modern dad. Would you say that's true? Modern co-parenting dad.
I feel like this is a trap, but okay, yeah, I'll say.
No, not a trap. So here's what I want to ask you. What do you think are the essentials that you think should go in a diaper bag?
Well, I have a big opinion about this. I never had a diaper bag, or the diaper bag we had was like a frou-frou kind of pink flowery thing. So I was always of the mind that, like, when you're a dad, like, really a diaper bag, that's just a description of a bag. You know what I mean? That you put diaper in if you need to. And, you know, dads, they're supposed to kind of be a little more freewheeling, like not so rigid. So I used to like jam in my backpack. I'd put a couple diapers, like a little thing of wipes, a bottle, and just like a cooling pack. Like I wouldn't even.
Wow, you're super prepared. You're like Boy Scout
dad,
that's not
man. Just, that's not freewheeling. That's, you're good.
Yeah, you're really good.
But the main thing is, I feel like when you're out and about, don't feel like you need to have every little thing, because, you know, that's half your journey is like finding things. And also you can get snacks on the road. If you're at the playground, surely there's other parents that are better prepared who have stuff for you. So just, you know, feel free to like pack light.
Pack light and borrow from the other parents who are more prepared.
You know, I have to say that whenever I'm at the playground or was at the playground with my kids, dads, I found, have no problem asking moms for help. Moms asking other moms, it always seems to be a little tricky. But I have always seen dads like, hey, do you have any wipes? Hey, could you watch my kid while I go, you know, catch up on football?
Well, there's still a double standard, I think. I don't know if you've seen this, Doug, but I feel like if you're a mom who's like, oh no, I don't have wipes, and you ask another mom,
they're like, ew.
They're like, oh God, she's like so not on top of things. But if you're a dad and you're like, hey, do you have wipes? They're like, what an amazing dad.
He's
changing
cute.
His baby.
He
That's
wipes.
So great.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
He's adorable.
Yeah, there's definitely still that double standard. And it can be frustrating for dads to feel like people think you're a big idiot, but you benefit from it. You know what I mean? So, like, on the one hand, you want people to not treat you like an idiot, but also you can play into that a little bit to your advantage.
Very good. I like that.
All right. So we want to know how you know if your child is too annoying for a restaurant. Like, how do you decide when we're good to go out as a family to dinner?
Wow. This is a real problem, because I do think that people that don't have kids can't understand why there are children in restaurants.
So true.
But parents know why, because you have to get out and live your life. So I definitely think that you have to kind of put yourself in another table's pants. That's weird. But, you know, like, kind of, I don't know why I said pants. Right? You have to walk a mile in another table's pants. That's the phrase, I think. And then you have to say, like, if I didn't like this child, how would I feel about their behavior?
That's really easy to do.
It's like, and,
nod.
And also you have to bear in mind, like, the whole restaurant isn't like part of your like babysitting co-op where everyone's going to get involved with the meal. So sometimes you're in a restaurant where everyone's like, oh, look, Eric's trying to say hi to you. And like, and everyone's like, why do I care about this kid, Eric? So just feel free to kind of keep yourself to your table.
So along those same lines, this is a question we've been getting.
Oh my God.
Since
it's like a 10-year-old question.
12-year-old.
12-year-old. You're right.
I know.
You're right.
I know.
12 years.
Yeah. So I have almost 12-year-old now, believe it or not. You will survive, Doug. You'll get there. And when she was a baby, we were still asking this question. Is it okay to bring your baby to a bar?
I definitely...
And you know what? There's a part B of this question.
Sure, okay.
If you're not in Park Slope.
Oh, that's a good addendum, because I think you assume going to a bar in Park Slope that there will be babies there. But I don't know. I think it's totally okay to bring a baby to a bar. I mean, for one thing, you know, sometimes you have to get your drink on, and that's okay. Like, you know, you can't get so super drunk. But like a baby at a bar, I think people that have babies totally understand. And people that don't have babies have to bear in mind kind of what, you know, what a bar is like. Like, a bar is a loud place full of annoying people, and babies fit in with that.
Yeah, that's true. Now, I have to disagree with you though, Doug. I'm gonna go toe to toe here, because, you know, this all came to be because when I was living in Georgia, I went out on a date night at a fancy restaurant, and I had finished my meal, and I was sitting at a bar, and a woman and her husband came in, and she put her baby on the bar.
Oh, yeah.
In the baby carrier, like right next to my $15 artisan vodka drink. So that to me is like, Oh, hell no. How do you feel about that situation in particular?
Yeah, that, like a full baby carrier sitting on the bar, that's a bit intrusive. Like, what? You had a $15 entree and the floor isn't clean enough for a baby carrier? It's not like you're putting the baby on the floor.
Right? Or at least if your baby's going to be on the bar, can't they hold a drink or do something? I mean, it was just sitting there crying. Put it to work.
You know what? That would be like a really good new Etsy product that we should invent. You know, they have like those self-holding bottle attachments that you can put. We should create something that helps your baby hold your drink.
Right. Your baby, hold my drink.
Like baby as a beer koozie.
Or you know what, Liz? Something that hangs on the baby carrier.
Yeah, like a martini glass to go or something.
Yes, they have those for shopping carts. Why don't they have them for baby carriers? All right, so okay, fine. I see we're on the same page. Though, you know, some bars, maybe you got to use your judgment, though.
Totally.
Also, you know, in New York, you can't smoke in bars. So I think that also kind of takes down the danger to baby factor. Maybe in Georgia. I don't know. Can they still smoke in bars in Georgia? I know in the South you can in a lot of places.
Yeah, I don't remember, honestly, because after I had kids, I stopped going to bars, which seems so counterintuitive. You'd think I'd be going more. But I know when I lived in Mississippi, they did. You could do a lot of things in bars in Mississippi, though. So I wouldn't use that as a... as a barometer.
And I'm not saying go to like a biker bar. I'm saying like, no offense to bikers. I'm sure they're great, but it's just,
you
know.
We have a lot of biker listeners, Doug. I don't want to offend our biker listener contingency.
Right. Bikers, please do not find me. I have a glass jaw. I would be down on the floor in a minute if you hit me. But also I was going to say about babies being seated on bars. I've definitely been in a coffee shop where someone's taken a baby and like to get their muffin, they put their baby like on the counter just to sit there. And I think that's a no-no. Like, because a lot of people think that like a diapered baby, there's just poop, then the diaper, then like the coffee shop counter. And I don't think that people should have to deal with
that. Yeah, I think no counters. I think just an all across the board, no babies on countertops is probably a good rule. I mean, at a restaurant, you feel free to put them all over your counter in your own house. But, you know, when you're out at a bar or a restaurant or a coffee place, I'm just going to say no. Maybe they need a sign. People need signs because other people can't figure it out.
There used to be baby on board. Now it could be like baby in bar. Listen to this. We're going to have so many big money-making ideas by the end of this. Doug, we're going to go into business together. You'll see. Okay, so listen, let's move from babies to like toddlers, slightly older kids now. Here's a question. A few years back, Doritos ran this commercial on the Super Bowl that was all about a dad who like deigned to play dress up with his daughter in exchange for Doritos. And I got stuck on CNN trying to like defend it to some angry guy who said that I was ruining the world with my snowflake advice. And I was like, I just think dad should be able to dress up with their kids and play and not have to be bribed to do it. So what do you think about dads playing dress up with kids? Good, bad, difficult?
I would say it's absolutely good. There's no reason to not play dress up because what are you, like a dignified gentleman from another era? Like, you're not. Like,
put on your cravat.
Yeah, you have to be involved with stuff like that. My improv training has a rule, yes and, which is the idea that you say sort of yes to your partner's idea and then add more information. And it's also kind of a vibe. You kind of say like, okay, I'm going to go with you and what you want to do. And I think that's the best way to kind of play dress up with your kid is like, sometimes they're like, oh, I don't really want to do this because it seems humiliating or just like annoying or difficult. Like I've definitely had my daughter be like, let's play hide and seek. And we live in like a 2-bedroom apartment. So I'm like, this is not going to work very well. But sometimes it's just easier to just do the thing. You know, it's like they lose interest in stuff quickly. So you just kind of put the hat on, pretend you're the thing, you know, and I'm an actor. Like, you know, I think once if I kind of give over to that moment, I usually have a lot of fun. And I think like being weird is fine, too. You know, kids like to have the same. They want to have like princesses or they want to have, you know, you're a dragon or something. And I think you can kind of give them a hard time by being like a weird dragon or a funny, weird princess. And, you know, like have fun. Dads are not dignified. That's get rid of that. That's a stupid idea.
So if your kid says, Dad, will you be the fairy princess? How do you yes and that?
I think you say like, oh, yes, okay. And like you put on a funny voice and like you get whatever dress will fit over your head and then you just do it, you know? Why not? Like our parents didn't play dress up, but they had different expectations. I think nowadays there's not a limit. Like I think dads should do that as well as moms, for sure.
Yeah, I
agree. I think that's great. We actually just wrote a post about, I don't know if you've heard about this, Doug. They now have drag queen story hours.
Yeah.
And it just came to New York, and it's in San Francisco, LA.
It's in Philly, baby.
Yeah, it's in Philly. Not Houston so fast, but it is, you know, on the coast. And, you know, it's kind of a cool idea when you think about it. It's a way to get kids excited about learning and literacy. But if you think about it, drag queen is just like a cool person in super crazy costume that a kid wishes that they were wearing. And I was like, this makes perfect sense. Like, kids want to see a princess in a super fancy frilly outfit dressed up and reading to them. Why not if it's a man?
Yeah. And, you know, look, when you see people out on Halloween, when I was a kid on Halloween, like, our parents would just be like, all right, see you in a few hours. I mean, I guess when they're old enough, they'd do that. My parents didn't dress up. But nowadays, if you go on Halloween, everyone's all dressed up. It's fun to dress up, and it shouldn't be just once a year, I don't think.
That's the millennials.
Right?
And you know what? That's not a bad thing. There may be lots said about millennials, but I think that's one of the fun things is they totally brought back the whole parents get to have some damn fun, too, on Halloween. You know what I mean?
For sure.
I'm all for it. Now, let me ask you this. Should you lie to your child, Doug? What do you think? Is lying okay?
Oh, wow. I think lying is okay depending on what the lie is. that's a very broad, I mean, is lying
like,
okay?
Were you having sex with my mom?
Oh, currently?
No.
Yeah, look, yeah, I think kid doesn't need to know every gory detail of your life. You know, like, we did Santa, we did all that stuff. So I think that those things are probably fine. Like, I've read articles that are like, you shouldn't do Santa because then, you know, kids won't learn to trust you. And
oh, please.
I just think it's like, you're overthinking it too much. Kids have magical thinking. It's not like they are suddenly like, oh my God, this one thing, and now I don't trust my parents. Like, I don't think so. I think white lies are fine. You're still a parent. Like, sometimes you need to kind of control the narrative. It sounds very, like, Nixonian of me suddenly, but...
Yeah, the ice cream store is closed. Or I remember once saying, like, oh, we were just wrestling, sweetie. Do you have a favorite lie that you told your kid that you can remember?
Ooh. Oh, favorite lie. My favorite lie is I don't have any money. My daughter doesn't buy it anymore, but I used to say, like, oh, yeah, no, I don't have any money. And what I meant was basically, I don't have money for that, like, the little thing
outside.
That's
close, because you're an actor in New York. So is it really that far from the truth?
Guys, send money. I'm going to send a link.
Fortunately, you have a really successful book, so that should help with that.
Right.
But
sure.
Yeah, my other favorite lie is I remember my daughter had trouble falling asleep when she was like about 2 or 3. And so she would ask for some sleep medicine and I would put water in a medicine dropper. I would lie her down and I'd be like, okay, this is going to work really quickly. So you got to close your eyes. And I would give her some water or, you know, orange juice or whatever I had. And then I'd be like, okay, it's going to work. I'm going to walk out. And it would work. And people were like, you're ruining your kid. She's a great sleeper. I did not ruin
her. Is she angry at you now?
I lied my way into my own sleep. And I do not regret it.
Did you ever tell her that? Have you told her that yet?
I don't think so. But you know what? She would laugh now. I mean, she's almost 12. She's a great sense of humor. Now I can admit to her all the funny things that we told her when she was little, and she actually digs them. So for parents who are concerned about Santa and other things, like, your kids will resent you for other things, but not necessarily that.
I agree.
Right. They have a lot of other problems by that point when they're like, they don't care about that anymore.
No, they're not going to care about the sleep medicine and the eyedropper.
Yeah, when they're like, why won't you let me have Instagram? They're not like thinking about, oh, Santa. God, how'd you tell me? So speaking of lies, I know you wrote in your book about food names and how to spin them. And this was always one of our favorite topics to write about when our kids were little.
Yes.
What do you think are good ways to spin food names so your kids will eat?
Okay, well, you have to understand my book is a comedy book. So some of these are just fanciful creations that I did not employ. But in my book, I have some things like, we all know about pigs in a blanket, right? You have to have fun names for food, I think. That's the best thing. So you know about pigs in a blanket, which is basically, we all know, it's like a hot dog in a pastry shell. I think you can kind of riff on that. You have like pigs in a sleeping bag. That's the hot dog in a slab of like whatever bread you have around. I think kids like gross names. So I have a weird poo, which is just baby carrots.
Weird poo.
Yeah, why not? You know, I have dog fight. That's a pile of hot dogs. Basically, these are all hot dog things.
I feel like there's a bigger question here. Is it like every single thing has to do with a hot dog? So why?
What are,
like,
you saying?
Shouldn't it be vegetables or something?
There were carrots.
Oh, there were carrots. I'm sorry. Yes, the poop was carrots.
Yeah, there are carrots.
Of course.
I think when you like are like, oh no, I have to prepare a meal. things you might have are like carrots, hot dogs, because hot dogs just sit in the fridge and you're like, I never want to eat these, but here they are.
For us, it was always princess things, like when the kids were little.
Yes.
It was easier to be like, these are Elsa's magical princess pops, you know, or whatever the thing was on a stick. And so I found that naming things after whatever character they were into at the time was very helpful.
Yeah, we did that with Star Wars. Like, I think I said it, you know, that food that Luke Skywalker eats in the big bowl with the big spoon at the beginning of the movie with his aunt and uncle, because you could say it was anything, right? Because you have no idea what the hell's in that bowl.
It's Luke's oatmeal, you guys.
Yeah, it's his oatmeal. It's his broccoli. This is what he eats to get his superpowers. And I think a lot of parents do that, right? Now, what about calling everything chicken? You know, like, I feel like when kids only eat chicken and they're like, can we eat another protein? Can we eat another kind of meat? And then parents start calling everything chicken.
Oh, yeah, we did that.
Did you do that?
You know what we did do? We called calamari Chinese French fries.
Oh, I didn't know.
Because we were at a Chinese restaurant and my stepmother's mom ordered fried calamari, Thalia was like 3. And I was like, they're Chinese French fries. And she loved them. She ate them
That is a really weird French fry.
That is
a real Chinese onion rings, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they get Chinese onion rings, right? Aren't they round?
Yeah, there you go. Well, whatever. It's fried. It was in a Chinese restaurant. It was the first thing that came to mind. I'm not as seasoned an improv pro as you are, Doug. And that's what I had to go with.
I knew this would come around to improv training.
Yeah.
We were giving you feedback right now. Okay. So totally switching gears here. How do you tolerate your kids' weird friends? And you know what friends I'm talking about.
You don't always like your kids' friends.
Yeah. So how do you tolerate them?
It's funny, isn't it? Like, you know your kid is weird in some way, but then when you meet their friends, sometimes you're like, oh my gosh. So I just don't take any guff. A lot of times I have kids over, they'll be like, oh, we're hungry. And I'm like, there's no way you're hungry. And anyway, I'm not going to give you all my food. So just be like, you're not hungry. We're not having snacks.
We're having carrot poop.
Weird. Yeah. And sometimes, oh God, the most exhausting thing is when like all the kids want to put on a show and you're like, okay, and then the show is like not very well thought out. Come on, guys, let's get this show together. You know, they're like, oh, we've practiced and now we're gonna put on a show. Like, most of those shows could take another round of practice before you have to watch them,
at least 12 more, and they always go on forever. And it's also like they're not really performing. It's like they're kind of inside their own head and you're like, hello, we're an audience here.
Right.
Have some stage presence. No, I'm kidding, but actually I'm not.
But I like that you brought up the snack thing, because yes, I find that's challenging. Now, my kids are picky eaters, so they know that when they go to somebody else's house, if they don't like what they're serving, just say, no, I'm okay, I'm not hungry, because I don't want to put people out. But we had a birthday party last year, and I thought I was being nice. It was a movie party, and we served kettle corn. And there's one girl who's like, I don't like kettle corn. I want regular popcorn. I'm like, you're 9. You get nothing.
Right, you're like, well, kettle corn's what's for a snack right now. That's what we're having.
Oh, I'm sorry I put extra salt and sugar on your popcorn. Forgive me. Never come over again.
Here's some delicious Brooklyn air for you. That's the other option in this bowl.
No, the truth is, I'm being snarky. You know what? I gave her the popcorn.
You did.
It was a birthday.
You're a good mom. Nice. What are you going to do? Yeah. Then you're just going to bitch about it later on your podcast. That's why we do this show.
No, I want to be more like Doug and use the word guff. I'm not taking your guff, kid.
Don't give me any lip.
No sass from you.
Oh, God.
I have all these old-timey phrases. I said soup to nuts yesterday, and someone was like, what? Soup to nuts? I was like, you know, from the first course to the last, soup to nuts.
I love that. I love tomfoolery myself. I use that often.
Sure.
Tomfoolery is excellent. Yes. Yes. Let's bring it back right now.
Yeah.
Here, we're doing it again. We're inventing something else. Let's bring back the old timey language that no children understand.
Come on, kids. Let's cut a rug.
Yes.
23 skidoo.
Yes.
So, okay, so let's talk about clutter for a second, because I know you've dealt with this. Mm-hmm. I also live in a small New York City apartment, and kids, as we know, are all hoarders, and you talk about this so well in Man vs. Child. How do you get rid of your kids' things when, like, every single thing is precious?
Well, we have kind of a purgatory for toys that are, like, small, and you can kind of hide away. So, like, a lot of times the mistake you make when you're trying to get rid of a toy or like artwork or something that's like precious, but you know is not actually precious. Like, don't get rid of real toys they really love, but you know, they go to a party or they go to the bodega and they get one of those like little sticky hands or like one of those weird tops that are plastic or, you know, stuff like that. We'll put it in a place in our apartment that she can't see for a bit, you know, and then sort of see if it's missed. And then everything has to go from that, like directly into like the trash, like outside trash. Like, you got to be careful about not recycling things that could be picked out of the recycling.
Oh,
so
yes. Oh, yeah.
A lot of paper projects where it's like, oh, it's a paper plate mask, like one of a series of 80. You want to like recycle that out of a natural care for the earth. But in this instance, you have to be careful. Like, that's go right in the trash.
We use our phones for that. I take pictures and I say to the kids, but this way it'll be forever in case something accidentally happens to it.
Oh,
yes. Accidentally finds itself in the trash can. All right, Doug. So last question here before we get to talk about your book a little more. Okay. Tell us and our listeners one piece of advice that you would give to new parents.
Oh, one piece of advice to new parents. I think it's important when you're a new parent to just know that like you have time to improve like your performance. Like you don't have to be like an expert immediately. That's a big important thing, especially for dads. I think dads can feel like, oh, my wife like understands through some like mother intuition how to do this. And like they probably don't actually. But for dads, especially like being okay with being like a little bad at it. Like we had a person in our birth class that we took together that was like, you know, parenting is like long-term consistency. So I think that's something to bear in mind. Like, I don't really buy into the like, oh, my baby had some minor traumatic experience and that like affected their whole life.
So you're not a Scientologist is what you're saying.
I'm not. Oh, boy. I'm going to get it. Bikers, Scientologists, all coming at me.
Just make a list. We'll send you one after the show, too.
Yeah. So that's what I think. Just be okay with being not so good at it and you'll get better.
I love that. I think that's great advice. You know, I always tell panicky new parents, you don't give birth to a teenager.
Right.
It's okay. You get a few years to work your way up to that.
Wouldn't that be a thing?
In so many ways, Doug. For the women. In so many ways.
So listen, tell us a little bit about your book and where we can find it, because it's really, really good. And look, we look at a lot of books. It's so funny. We even recommended it in our Father's Day gift guide on Cool Mom Picks as one of our top gift picks for new dads. Okay. So tell us where we can find it.
You can find it in bookstores everywhere. It's on Amazon, of course, if you're like homebound and don't want to move. It should be in your Barnes & Noble or your local, fancy bookshop. And also, like, what about it? It's a humor book for dads. Like, as you're aware, there are a lot of funny mom books out there that are, you know, oh, I need to drink wine to get through the day, and they're funny. And this is sort of to do that for the dads. Now that dads are kind of expected to be equal parents, they're also, I think, ready to laugh about it a little bit. So it has some helpful advice, hopefully, but is also meant to make you laugh. And a lot of moms have read it and enjoyed it too, which is good. So.
Yeah, I mean, look, if Amy Poehler likes it and Bobby Moynihan and Rob Corddry and Rob Hubel, they can't be wrong, right?
That's right. I would never go against them.
No, certainly not Rob Hubel. I've taken classes with him, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Doug, where can our listeners find you?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Doug Moe, and you can find me on my blog is manvchild.com. Those are probably the best places to find me. You can find me on Instagram probably too if you want to look at pics.
And we can see you wandering through New York City supermarkets in the hot dog aisle.
That's it. The dude with like a pile of hot dogs.
Yes, or maybe we should say the vegetable aisle if there are Scientologists or bikers listening.
Well, hey, you're going to stick around for Cool Picks of the Week, and we'll be back with that right after this.
So Liz, I am so excited to welcome back our sponsor, Care.com. I love them.
I do too. And you know what? We've been writing about them for so long on Cool Mom Picks. It's so nice to welcome them to our newfangled podcast.
Yeah. You know what? I have used them exclusively for years now. In fact, I have found some of my favorite babysitters and nannies on their website. It's so easy to use.
I know. You've told me this. You found every one of your sitters, right? From Care.com?
Yeah. I mean, they make it so easy because you can go on there and they have everything that you need to find someone. They do background checks, reference checks, qualifications, certifications. I mean, it's every single thing that you would want when you would do an interview with a babysitter or nanny right on the website. And you can find them based on your zip code. So people that I've found have been like right around the corner from my house.
In fact, you know what's really cool? I used it once when I was traveling. Ooh, because you can do it by zip code.
Nice.
I was on a trip with the kids when they were little, and we actually found an amazing temporary sitter through Care.com. So it's really cool for that too.
Yeah, and you know what? They don't just have nannies and babysitters.
Oh, no.
They have a lot more on their site. Have you seen everything? Oh my gosh.
Housekeepers, dog walkers, senior caregivers, tutors, errand runners. I mean, if you're getting prepared for summer and you're schedule's changing and you need a little help, this is a really, really good resource.
Yeah, and especially if you're like us and you've got kids that are out of school. I don't know, how many weeks left do you have, Liz? Because I only have a week and a half.
New York City ends June 28th.
Oh, my
gosh. So we got a while to go.
Yeah, we don't. And so if you're looking for summer care, care.com is a fantastic place to look. And we have a special offer for our listeners, and it's amazing.
It's a big offer.
Yeah, it is. So if you are interested in getting a care.com premium membership.
Totally worth it, by the way.
Yeah.
Just for the extra benefits you get. Very, very worth it.
Yeah. And this, you can get 30% off. All you have to do is subscribe via care.com/coolmompicks. So make sure you use that link. You're going to get 30% off and access to more than a handful of your summer help.
And hey, once you find a whole new childcare provider that you love, it gives you that much more time to listen to Spawned.
Perfect. Okay, well, it's time for
Cool Picks of the Week. Cool Picks of the Week.
And we always have our lovely guests go first. So, Doug, you're up. What do you have for our listeners?
A thing that I very much enjoyed is this NPR Tiny Desk Concerts series.
Yes.
Have you heard of that?
Yes.
It's really good. You know what? It was one of my picks of the week like a year ago. And I'm so glad you're bringing it up again because it's awesome.
It's really good. You know, for one thing, you can find it on YouTube so you can watch these little videos. There's also probably an audio version, but I often put it on YouTube and don't watch the pictures. And, you know, they have bands into the NPR music studios and are just actually like, it looks like they're in their office space, essentially. And they'll do a little, you know, acoustic version of whatever their songs are. And it's maybe 10 minutes long. But I think it's really surprising how even bands that you wouldn't expect can sound so amazing, just like a tiny little, I was going to say a tiny desk concert venue. That's it too. But it's just wonderful. Like, I always discover new bands and always love the versions of people that I've heard of on that.
Do you have a favorite one that you would recommend that people start with?
Recent ones I've really liked, there's a band called Valley Queen that I had never heard of, and this woman has this amazing voice. So that was really, I was just like blown away. And I actually like the Tiny Desk versions a little bit better than what I've heard the studio versions, but I like kind of acoustic stuff. And then an old band that I've known forever, the Jayhawks, they had a really great version of something on their new album, which I think I probably wouldn't have even looked into because they've been around forever. But this song was just so great that I was like, oh, it sounds so, I don't know, I loved it. So those are a couple to look into.
That's great. I would also suggest, if you haven't seen it yet, Billy Bragg.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's great.
So Kristen, how about you? What's your cool pick of the week this week?
All right. Well, I just discovered this website. It's called Kids Listen. It's actually app.kidslisten.org, and it is a website where parents can go to find the best podcasts that are just for kids.
Oh, wow.
So unfortunately, Spawned is not on there. If you're looking for Spawned, you will not
most
find
it. Most kids should not listen to most of our episodes for
yes.
Show.
However, a few of the kids' podcasts that we've featured, including Wow in the World with our friends Mindy and Guy, are on there. Brains On. There are a bunch of great podcasts. And what they do, it's only a web app right now. They're coming out with an iOS app soon, is that you can go there, you can search by your kid's interest, you can search by your kid's age, and they curate it very carefully. So they're listening to stuff, they're making sure the stuff is kid appropriate, clean episodes. And you know what? There's really nothing else out there like it. And it's great for parents who have kids that love podcasts, because Liz, you and I know, I don't know if you're a super duper podcast listener, Doug, but when you go into iTunes and you search for podcasts, there are so many out there.
Yeah.
And it's really overwhelming. And it's really hard to find out, especially if you have kids, which ones are really great. Like, who has time to listen to 400 podcasts? You should only be listening to three. Spawned. Wow in the World, and Serial, or whatever.
I'm a Pod Save America fan.
Oh, yes. Okay, very good. I like The Sporkful with Dan Pashman. So, anywho, it's app.kidslisten.org. You can check out our review of it on coolmomtech.com. And, of course, all of these things on our show, Doug's book, our cool picks, will be on our podcast page on coolmompicks.com.
Cool. Well, you know, it's interesting. It seems like we actually have a theme for the cool picks this week. It's all digital entertainment.
Ooh.
I'm getting a sense maybe we all need a break from, like, the political stuff going on, because this is like the escapist episode.
I'm all for
it. What I wanted to share was an amazing YouTube channel. I've been looking for cool educational YouTube channels for my kids for the summer, you know, when they're off from school, but I want them maybe making better use out of their screen time. And I put together a post on Cool Mom Tech about some of the best educational YouTube channel for older kids, like teens and tweens. And one of the ones I found, although it's good for kids of all ages, Kristen, do you know this? It's Steve Spangler's Sick Science YouTube channel.
I don't know it, but I'm sure my oldest Quinlan does because she is up on all of the cool stuff. But tell me what the deal is. It says science, so I'm guessing there's a lot of experimenting happening.
It's really good. It's from a Sick Science series. And he also makes a whole bunch of experimental like science kit products called Sick Science that we've covered before. Well, he has a YouTube channel, which I didn't even know.
Yeah.
So he teaches you like how to make a bubble inside of a bubble inside of a bubble to make a rainbow bubble. He teaches you how to make fake blood or make a cool sugar kaleidoscope. There's science classics like that old trick about how to get a hard-boiled egg to fit into a narrow bottle. So it's just tons of videos that are educational and fun and, you know, a little irreverent and kind of cool. There's like some serious headbanging music with the intro. So you might want to just turn down the volume when you hit the YouTube channel.
That's funny.
We'll have the link up on our site. But Steve Spangler's Sick Science YouTube channel. I can't believe I could say that without messing up. Anyway, it's really good. Really cool if you're looking for some educational fun for your kids this summer.
Yay! Well, thank you so much, Doug.
Thank you.
Joining us. Oh, I feel like you're going to help so many parents or scare them or both. No, I'm just kidding.
And you know what? You're going to make them laugh,
yes.
Which is one of the most important things we need as parents.
And you know what? I know so many people are looking for Father's Day gifts. Definitely check out his book, Man vs. Child. We will find it linked up on coolmompics.com after our podcast. But I'm sure check your local bookstores, amazon.com, anywhere where they sell books.
Good books.
Good books. This book is going to be there.
Great.
Yay. Thank you, Doug.
Thanks so much.
Yay! Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of Spawn.
Huge thanks to our engineer, John Bowen, to our guest, Doug Moe, and hey, to you, our amazing listeners, and we love hearing from you. So send us an email at spawned@coolmompics.com. Hit us up on Twitter at coolmompics using the hashtag #SpawnedShow. And we'd love if you'd leave us a review on iTunes and make sure to subscribe. In fact, you can do it this very second.
Yep, right on the app that you're listening to this podcast right now. Hit subscribe and hey, download those episodes. We really appreciate it. This is Kristen.
And this is Liz. Have a great day.
Bye.